Hi, welcome to Conversations with Musicians with Leah Rosman. In episode 1, season 2, I speak with the wonderful Swiss-French jazz violinist, singer, and pedagogue, Eva Slongo. She kindly shared some of her playing during the call, and we discussed her background as a classical violinist, her journey into jazz, and we touch on many topics, including playing injuries, her studies at Le Centre des Musiques Didier Lockwood, and some of the challenges faced by women in jazz. This podcast is also available in video format, and the link is in the description of the episode. Please follow this podcast so you can be informed of all new episodes with a wonderful range of musicians and their personal stories. Hi, Eva Slongo, jazz violinist and pedagogue joining us from Paris. Thanks so much for agreeing to play a little bit. You're going to play one of the part of a tune from your new album?
Yes, I will try to do it now.
Thank you. That was really great. So, you know, I was hoping you'd sing because I've heard what a wonderful singer you are as well as violinist. And we'll talk about your journey from classical into jazz and everything. But I'm curious, were you singing much before you got into jazz, or was it part of that?
Yes, when I was studying classical music, I also took some singing lessons. But in classical music, lyrical singing lessons. And then when I began to study jazz with the violin, I wanted to... I used the singing, the voice, to learn to how to improvise. And then I began to scat a lot, to do a lot of scat improvisation with the voice. And then I tried to do it together with the violin because it gave me a better swing feel, you know? It helped me a lot to feel the swing in jazz. And finally, it happened that I began to do it also in a concert, to scat and play, and that I had, so people a lot of people told me it was good that I have to do it another time and all that. And then I learned some lyrics too of jazz standards. And then I began really to mix voice and violin at every concert.
So
more violin, always more violin, but I add the voice or as an instrument, you know, like I almost did now without lyrics, but also sometimes with lyrics of jazz standards.
Actually, now that you've been playing a little bit, would you be willing to play another tune, maybe a jazz standard or an improv on your violin so we can hear a little bit
Yes. I was improvising on autumn leaves, but I directly started with an improvisation.
Yes.
Do you want to play with the playback to listen more the harmony too?
Sure. If you want it. Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome, thank you.
Thank you.
So I was just thinking, it's so great, it's easy for people to get backing tracks now to practice jazz.
Yes, you just go on YouTube and you have some backing tracks.
But when you were starting out as a jazz musician and you moved to Paris, which we'll get to, but I know they have a really big scene for jam sessions and stuff, so you had that ability to just play with people.
Yes. I was going out a lot every night, most of all in gypsy jazz session, because jam sessions, because with the violin it was really more easy to integrate myself in the jam session.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a jazz jam session, there's always the thing of the sound that it's complicated. You know, in gypsy jazz, you can just play acoustic like that and it's really more easy. But then I also prefer to play jazz, so I went also to jazz jam sessions. But then I had a lot of concerts in gypsy jazz, but not in jazz, because as I played the violin, people call me for gypsy jazz. So that's why I created also my band my own band with my compositions that are more jazz, with the jazz inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to play also in jazz band and not only gypsy jazz. I really like gypsy jazz, but I wanted to have also other opportunities. Mm-hmm. With my own band, I play my compositions that are inspired from more actual jazz, I think, you know, more recent
mm-hmm.
jazz. Also inspired by a little by pop music and now also I mixed, I just recorded an album and I mixed classical and jazz for the first time, because first I was a classical violinist, I studied classical music, I did all the diplomas to teach and then to make concerts and concert diploma, teaching, all that. But then I stopped. I was a little tired of all the ground of the classical music or all the world of classical music, and When I ended my studies, I just stopped playing completely classical music, and I had already started to study jazz violin before I ended my classical studies, but not really deeply, you know. And then I stopped after my studies. I stopped classical, and I began to study more seriously jazz, but it was like I started another time at the beginning, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it's really different way to think the music, to think the rhythm, to think the harmony. It's the another sound, another type of sound, really,
mm-hmm.
Another technique also.
Mm-hmm.
It's another technique, but it doesn't matter to play both, because then with jazz technique, you know, you use another technique but to make a different sound too, so it's okay. And I use more the fingers now, it's a little different, but
mm-hmm.
now when I play classical, it's okay, I can really use the same technique to play classical.
Mm.
I even have found some things more easy with my new technique, with more
mm-hmm.
fingers and less arm.
Yeah. So when you were a classical student, I'd read that you'd had physical problems, and you just felt like you couldn't be expressive, like it wasn't a good fit for you.
Yes, you talk about physical problems. Yes, I had to stop two times for several weeks, I think,
mm-hmm.
because I had so much shoulder ache, shoulder
mm-hmm.
pain, really, really, because it was a lot of work, a lot of practice, hours and hours, and very, I don't know. With jazz, then I began to be more relaxed,
mm.
and I have really less. I could say maybe almost no more physical problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then also with the music, I was born in a family of classical musicians,
mm-hmm.
so I really was into classical, but. Then I don't know. There were so much rules for interpretation,
mm-hmm.
and then so much rules. And then at the end, my teacher was saying, "Okay, now you have to find your own personality." And I couldn't find it. I couldn't find my personality. And when I began to improvise, I had some new sensations really, really, I was feeling really better. Even at the beginning when I didn't learn, I didn't know the language, I didn't know anything, I just used my hearing to improvise, and I think it was bad, but the feeling I had was really nice, you know. I really was into a state of euphoria and meditation in the same time, and it was something, you know, some different place I was in my head, and I really liked this place, and I wanted to go more deeper in this this place. I couldn't feel that when I was playing in orchestra, or I didn't. I feel the same.
And on your way to jazz, I know you had explored tango, you'd even gone to Buenos Aires to...
Ah, yes.
Yeah, so there is a little bit of improvisation in tango, but not really. Is that the case?
No. So I thought it was, because when I was, you know, I'm from Switzerland, so when I studied jazz, I studied classical in Switzerland. And then the first time I began to play with a band that was doing improvisation, the musician were playing Piazzolla, but doing it in a jazzy way. So I began to play with them and to improvise with them on Piazzolla. But I thought it was like that, tango, it was improvisation, you know, but it was because the band was playing the Piazzolla like that. So that's why then I went to Buenos Aires to study a little bit the language of tango, and it was really great experience. But I realized that there was not, you can improvise the ornaments, you know, there are some freedom, sure, but it's not really improvisation. I think bandoneonists make really improvisation, but violinists, no. I had the impression that improvisation was not really for violinists, you know. So it's not the, maybe they do, but it's not the thing, the it's not the essence of playing tango is not really improvisation, is an interpretation, free but interpretation. And there are also, then, if you want to play it good, you have to really listen the ornaments, the way to do for of all the violin, tango violin players. It's also you have to go deep into that. And then there I met a Swiss violinist, and she was playing gypsy jazz, and I listened to her. I had already begun a little bit with jazz, taking jazz violin lessons before, but not a lot, you know, not seriously. And then there I listened to her in a concert, and then the last day, the very last day of my trip there in Buenos Aires, she invited me to do a jam session, gypsy jazz jam session, and I just knew I was able to play minor swing and I think that's all, or switch or jabra, two things, you know, two standards I knew, and I wasn't able to play a little bit, but then I realized that was really what I wanted to learn and to study. Then I came back to Switzerland with the goal to study more jazz. Before that, I tried a lot. I tried also Baroque music, I tried Balkanic, I tried... I knew I needed to play also other music than classical music. So I was looking for things, you know. But then, back from this travel, I knew I wanted to concentrate on jazz. I was still learning classical music, but I knew that the thing I wanted to study more after beside my classical studies was jazz, and I wanted to focus on that. I still didn't know that afterwards I would stop classical and do only jazz. But I knew I wanted to go deeper in jazz.
Mm-hmm. I'd heard you say in one of your other interviews that you, when you were first playing and there were people dancing, maybe it was a gypsy jazz gig or something.
No, it was bossa nova.
Okay.
No, it was just the first time I played. Yes. That was also, that was before, that was still before the band. It was just a coincidence. I was in a bar and I met a mother of a friend of mine. I had my violin and she knew a guitarist that was playing, a Brazilian guitarist that was playing bossa nova and singing. And she told me, but you can play with him. And I don't know. Play. And then I tried. And yes, there were people dancing like that. I don't know what I played. I think I played, bad, certainly. But with hearing, you know, and bossa nova is also not so simple. But I felt something very strong, yes, something. I had a very deep feeling of joy and of something that I didn't knew in classical music world. Really, and then I couldn't sleep in the night, and I was like, I want to do that. It was very, very, I was excited really about this this moment and this feeling, and yes, that makes part of the moments I lived that made me then go more to look for improvisation, improvisated music and jazz.
Mm-hmm. It shows a lot of courage and initiative that you would just say yes to these opportunities when you weren't maybe, you know, ready, like you just went for it. That's really great. And
yes, you mean that improvisation. I think maybe when I was small too, I sometimes was improvising just like that, you know, just alone. It was not the first time I played without scores, you know, but yes, in a context like that, it was maybe like the one of the first times.
Mm-hmm. So you studied with Pierre Blanchard in Switzerland?
Yes.
And he gave you a bit of a formation in jazz. What kind of things did you learn from him that really got you started?
I learned, he learned me a lot. I think I studied 4 years with him. But I didn't practice a lot because that was while my classical studies, and I had already to study classical 6 hours a day. So I didn't practice a lot, but he came only once a month. So it was like a quiet evolution. but he learned me, he taught me how to play. First, he gave me an access to Stéphane Grappelli. He made me study the chorus of Stéphane Grappelli. And he taught me a lot of the swing, how to do the, you know, the basic things about swing, and the bow technique, the ghost notes I didn't know before. He made me do some transcriptions of saxophone players like Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, and he learned me a lot about harmony, you know, which note to play on which chord and why it sounds good and why this one doesn't sound good. And he was the only one really to teach me to do like ways in playing, you know, the way you go and then you can go there and there. like surfing between the chords, between the chord of the harmony of a standard. And yes, that was very, very helpful to how to play, what to play over 2-5-1, how to find the interesting note in the good moment. I learned a little bit of that from him.
Since you've become a professional jazz player, have you played with him since then? Done any collaborations?
Not officially, but because then I went to Paris, so he was teaching. Well, he was living in Paris actually, but then I went to the school of Didier Lockwood, and I lose a little contact with him because he was still teaching in Switzerland, but I was not a lot of in Switzerland. Then I met him in New York when I was there, and he was playing there with Dorado Schmidt, a big jazz club of New York. And then we made some jam sessions there after the concerts, and it was very nice.
So the Centre de Musique Didier Lockwood is really a special school.
Yes. So, yes, the school of Didier Lockwood, it's very good because I was lucky to have Didier personally in the lessons. But then also the whole school is very good. The whole direction of teaching there is really, really good. There are a lot of very good teachers, not only for violin, but also there you really learn how to improvise. You practice rhythm a lot, you practice hearing, you practice the technical aspect of the instrument too, but that's really not only that, you know. It's really, really very complete, I have to say. And there was also another teacher, a violin teacher that was very good, Joanne Renard, and that helped me a lot to find a lot of things. And Didier was fantastic also. Very special character, but no, character, yes, you say that, but personality. But I really feel lucky to have had this opportunity to practice with him, and I learned a lot with him. I learned a lot of, he was insisting a lot about the swing feel and the rhythm feel, you know, the time. That was really the thing, you know. He was really doing, making us always tap with the foot, you know, while playing, to have a good time, to feel it in the dans le ventre, in the
belly, yeah.
In the belly.
Yeah.
And insisting a lot about that, and also about the fingers of the right hand, a lot, the whole year. And then that was his principal points of teaching, and to tell how to tell a story when you improvise too. That was very important. I think on these three points he insisted a lot. Swing feel, bow technique, and tell a story.
So in terms of telling a story, just the shaping of the phrases, the way it builds?
No, it's more, not really. He was not teaching anything about, yes, a little bit, but not so much about which note to play. It was for him, it was all instinctive, and he was playing all by instinct, by hearing, so very, very naturally. So he didn't really teach which note to play on which chord, like I could learn with Pierre Bouchard. It was more how to really express yourself through the music. He was also doing us sing, not really sing, but making some rude while playing like a something like he was doing that, yeah. And then that inspired me also a lot to sing together, you know, to start from the singing and then to try to play like I sing and not to sing what I play, you know, mm-hmm. play what I sing.
Yeah.
And then that, because the problem is we play some string instrument and we can play always, you know? It's not like a wind instrument that has to breathe. A wind instrument has to breathe, you know, to play. And so the phrases, the solo is always more logic, you know, better construction, because it's like when you speak, you have to breathe, you make some phrases with a beginning and end, and then you breathe, and that's and that's the problem also with the guitar. They play always a lot of notes, and
yeah,
and that's why singing helped me a lot also to give a better construction to my solos, you know, and to build something, you know, because when you play a solo during 2 minutes, if you play always the same, then it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be boring, so you tell something, then another thing, and then you can climb the solo, you know, and then at the end it can go back or not. But then this kind of things, it's important also to it's very important to practice.
So at this school there was a very high level and you met a lot of colleagues that you play with now?
In this school there is a really high level in jazz,
mm-hmm.
In other instruments than violin.
Mm-hmm.
But the violin players, there are some that arrive in the school, are virtuoses,
mm-hmm.
classical virtuoses, but has never played jazz before. So the jazz level is not always so high in violin, you know,
mm-hmm.
but in other instruments, yes. In piano, in drums, there are a very high level. But violin players, I think they come from different
background.
Background. Yes, exactly. I was lucky to arrive there, and already had studied a lot with Pierre Blanchard before, so I already knew the language, and I could really enjoy more of the school, you know,
mm-hmm.
because if I would have been a beginner. In jazz, I think I would have enjoyed less
mm-hmm.
What school could bring to me.
It seems to me like most jazz violinists start in classical, but I'm curious.
Yes.
Jazz pianists, do you think a lot of them also start in classical?
No. For example, the piano player Giovanni Mirabassi,
mm-hmm.
I play with now. He's incredible. He has an incredible technique and also very, very nice sound, and doesn't play so loud. Can be very, very, you know, in the details. But he never studied classical music.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I play with piano player, and I think they have, and then I ask them. Last week I played with a fantastic player Baptiste Bailly, and in duo, and he really had a good sound, and we we made some classical tunes too, mixed with jazz. And I asked him, "Ah, but have you studied classical?" And he said, "No. Now I'm trying to practice a little bit classical music, but he doesn't come from classical."
Mm-hmm.
No.
So, because you've you're a band leader and you write your own tunes, you've carved your own path with your career, but also your pedagogy, which I'd like to talk about, because you, before this pandemic, you were online doing all this wonderful teaching with your program.
Yes, already before. Mm-hmm. Because I started to do my blog to teach jazz violin, first in French, only in French. Well, my first confinement ever, that was my pregnancy. And so it was at the end of my first pregnancy, and I was very frustrated to have to cancel all my concerts. Mm. I wanted to go until the end on the scene, and then to be back very soon on the scene, but then it's not like that. But it depends for who, you know. I had some example of women that could really continue until 10 days before the giving birth. I couldn't. I was almost handicapped. It was difficult, and had a lot of pain. So the two last months I was at home, and I began with that, yes, at this moment. And that was good, because then I was, it gave me motivation, you know. And then also with the small baby, I had canceled a lot of things, and I was continuing to do this. But then I had a second child. It's not so easy to be so regular, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not so easy, but I now with the school and the nursery, it's really more easy to do this work, because now I like to do that. And with the pandemic, that's sure that I could develop more that. And now I have some things, but I don't know how it will be in the next months. So I really like to develop this activity on the internet, and I like I have a lot of very, very good testimonies. I don't know, that people tell me a lot of good things about what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, and I can work by myself when I want. I'm independent. I like also this independent. And with small children, it's always difficult to travel a lot for concerts and not to be at home. It's not so easy, but I do it. But this weekend I was to France. I went from Friday to Sunday. I went to France. But when you have children, it's a lot, you know.
But you're in Paris. You said you went.
No, now I'm in Spain.
Oh, okay.
But I don't. This year I'm in Spain, and I don't know. I don't know what will be the future.
It's important to talk about these things of balancing, you know, family life and music, especially with women, because in the past, you know, it was so male dominated. No one questioned, are they even seeing their children, or they're touring all the time. But it's a sad when people give up having a family because of their career, you know, like you should be able to do all the things.
Yes, what is sure is that when I was pregnant, I missed some opportunities to do concerts, but it's also not so, there will be others, so it's not, you know, it's not so pas grave. It's not
that serious.
It's,
yeah,
it's okay. It's not so. And then it won't influence all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, I had to cancel some things. But if I wouldn't have children, I would. I think I would never have done this whole thing of teaching on internet.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Now I really enjoyed that too. So it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It has consequences. That's sure, but it's also it's not so easy for me, you know, to play with my own band. I was a little disappointed also to not have been really programmed in some festivals, you know. It's not easy, and I think with or without children it wouldn't have changed a lot, but with children I became more patient.
Mm-hmm.
With all that, you know, because before I wanted to go to play in festivals and to be but you have to have good relations with good persons, and that could take time to, you know, take years to become present on the jazz scene. It's really, really, and maybe you won't become so. But before I was really like, I want that. But now, with my children, I'm also happy and it's okay. I'm less. I'm more patient, and the things come. When it has to come, and if it doesn't come, it's okay.
Do you think I
do everything I can,
mm-hmm,
for the things that could come, but then it's not only when I do that. The time is important, you know, to have patience. That's very important, and the children gave me teaching patience.
Yeah. Do you think it's harder as a jazz violinist or just the jazz world in general to sort of get, you know, more known?
I think it's more difficult as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
As a violinist in jazz world.
Mm-hmm.
Not in jazz in general, but I think as a woman playing instrument, and it's more difficult in the jazz world because jazz world is really a world of men.
Mm-hmm.
Gypsy jazz also.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I don't know, it's changing, so maybe there will be some possibilities still.
Yeah.
But now, until now, yes, it's not so easy. As a woman, it's not so easy, and jazz violin in jazz is not so... It's good, because it's not so common, so so it's also good to make something original, but people won't look for especially for that, you know. So I think it has advantages and inconvenience. It's like being a woman. I think there are some advantages because also there are also people that want to see women, but for now I didn't really enjoy the advantages, but someday maybe.
And so your parents were classical musicians?
Yes.
And how did they influence you growing up in terms of music or?
Oh, well, I don't know. I was just in that world. They educated me really always with music. Made me sing when I was very little. And then my mother was piano player, and when I was four, I remember having seen her playing with a violinist, you know, in a concert.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that from this day, I wanted to play violin too.
Mm-hmm.
So I discovered violin through them.
Mm-hmm.
But First, no, because first I discovered piano, because my father plays organ. Mm-hmm. So before to listen to violin, I listened to piano and to organ. But then I discovered violin, and that was what I wanted. Mm-hmm.
And your partner's a jazz musician?
Yes, he plays a gypsy guitar.
Mm-hmm. So do you think your kids are naturally going to want to play jazz?
I don't know, but my daughter of 5 years old, we already teach her violin and flauta.
Flute, or do you mean recorder?
What?
Recorder, like a flûte à bec, or you mean...
Flûte à bec.
Recorder.
Recorder, okay. And violin, I teach her violin, and she's quite good also with the rhythm. It's very already, and she sings very, very in tune, you know. She has already the hearing, it's already in place, I think. But then, already the instrument, now she's young, so we teach her what we know, but then maybe later she will choose some other instrument, you know. But we try already to make them listen a lot of music too, classical and jazz. Mm-hmm. That's we try to give all we can now to them to then be able to be musician. Mm-hmm. Professional or not, that's what they will choose, but we try to give them also the possibility to already have a good hearing, and then we see what happens.
Eva, there's two more things I'm curious about. One is your process of composition, how you go about writing tunes.
There are different processes, but on my first, I already released an EP mm-hmm. in 2013 and an album in 2016. And for these two mm-hmm. albums, I really composed with harmonic instruments like piano or guitar. I don't really play piano or guitar, but I know the chords. And then singing and doing chords, you know, I composed like that, really like that. Mm-hmm. But then for my new album now that will go out soon, I compose more on the violin, because I try to inspire myself from all the elements of classical music I had into myself too, and then to mix it with the jazz. And so yes, really, you know, like the compositions I made before, I really did it. Yes, I did it on the violin and voice. Mm. And then I composed a cadenza also on the violin. But if I remember good, this piece, first I composed it like that. I learned chop, and that became. Then it's changed a little bit, but so. And then what did I do? Yes, there are other compositions. Yeah, I just like that with violin and voice mostly. The last album, mostly like that, but a little also there are two songs. One I composed with the chords of guitar and voice, and one another with piano. Mm-hmm. There is one we composed when my daughter was it's a berceuse, you know,
lullaby.
Yes, lullaby. That we composed together with my husband for my daughter, and then I put some jazz chords on the piano on this lullaby.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to hear your new album. So I wanted to thank you for for agreeing to speak to me today and playing so beautifully.
Thank you. Thank you.
Season 1 of this podcast had 20 episodes, and season 2 continues with a really interesting mix of musicians talking about their lives and careers with perspectives on overcoming challenges, finding inspiration and connection through a life so enriched with music. Please follow this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts to be informed about each new episode.